It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Oh, man. Are you bleary-eyed? I'm bleary-eyed. Welcome to a late night, early morning edition of Rico Bronya. The New York Mets continue their West Coast trip in San Francisco. They lose to the Giants. I'm half asleep. Now, we will go through this game. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're like, listen, I was emotionally drained from the Islanders taking a giant dump on the ice down in Raleigh, North Carolina. You were emotionally tired after that incredible Knick victory, and you didn't watch 2.5 hours of New York Met San Francisco Giant baseball. We got you. We'll fill you in on everything that you missed. The Mets lost to the San Francisco Giants by a score of 5-2, and they managed 4 base hits, two of which never left the infield. So the Met offense, which had been really humming over the last week or so, last couple of weeks, really, has hit a wall. It hit a wall against Tyler Glasnow on Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles and hit a wall on a Monday night against Keaton Wind in front of 5 people in San Francisco, California. And that's the first thing that jumped out at me. You know, whenever you watch a game at Oracle Park, the old AT&T Park, the old Pac Bell Park, it always felt like there was 40,000 people there for every single game. When SNY went on the air for this game at about 9:30, 9:35, I couldn't believe how few people there were there. I mean, there was like 12 people there. It was like a Met game in the middle of April at Citi Field. So that certainly jumped out at me. Once the game started, we witnessed a dumb base running decision by Starling Marte, because Brandon Nimmo lines out to start the game. And Marte, and I give him a lot of credit for this, laid down a bunt. And it was a beautiful bunt. It was a beautiful, sexy bunt that Keaton Wynn ended up kind of rushing towards first base and threw it in the right field. And for whatever reason, I don't know what Marte was thinking, he tries to go to second base and he's thrown out by a mile. And considering how good Starling has been on the base paths, you don't have to force it. Just get on first base, you'll steal second. That's how good Starling Marte had been. So the Mets ran themselves out of an opportunity in the first inning. Jose Quintana, who I think we all look at as the guy who needs to be the most dependable starting pitcher, ran into trouble in the second inning, and it really started on an odd play. Jorge Soler hits a ground ball to the left side of second base. Jeff McNeil is cutting over. Francisco Lindor is cutting the other way, and it's almost like McNeil was confused by Lindor cutting over, thought Lindor was going to make the play, and instead of trying to field the ball, Jeff kicks the ball. There was a part of me for about 2 seconds. I don't know if you saw this live, Pete, where I thought Jeff McNeil and Lindor were going to get into a fist fight again. Like, just because of the oddity of the fact that, you know, McNeil looks so disgusted by the miscommunication of the play that he ends up kicking the baseball, that I thought he was going to turn around and say, you know what, Francisco, go F yourself. Now, luckily, that did not happen. There may have been a dirty look exchanged. It was just a very, very odd play. Because it's one thing for McNeil not to make the play and not throw out Jorge Soler, but he just kicked it. And I don't know what the hell he was trying to do. don't know if his thought was, I can't make this play. I'll just kick it to Brett Beatty over at third base. Maybe he'll make the play. But that started the whole second inning. So it starts on this odd infield hit. Conforto bloops a base hit, very lucky little dumper in a center field. And then Quintana, who has not had this issue before, at least with the Mets last year, just can't find the strike zone. And he walks Tyro Estrada to load the bases up with one out. And that's been one of Quintana's kind of issues this season. He came into the game with 11 walks in 20 and two-thirds innings. He walked three more guys today. The Mets have been issuing a ton of walks. And the problem with these walks is that it's driving up the pitch count. And because it's driving up the pitch count, that's a part of why the Mets are just not able to get a lot of innings out of their starting pitching. So Quintana puts himself in this very tricky spot in the second inning of a 0-0 game. Bases loaded, one out. To his credit, he strikes out Tom Murphy looking on a borderline pitch, and he's one out away from getting through it against Nick Ahmed. And Nick Ahmed jumps on the very first Quintana pitch and scorches a line drive that I thought off the bat was getting out. I got to tell you, I thought he hit a grand slam. It bounces off of the wall. We don't see a replay, and it appears like it's called fair, and it's a double, and the Giants are up 2-0 with second and third two out. And then, and I don't know why SNY didn't show us the replay immediately, because once you see the replay, it's clear as day that the ball was fouled. Clear as day. By a good, you want to say, half a foot? So the Mets get this monstrous, monstrous break. Quintana gets this monstrous, monstrous break in the fact that it's not 2-0, it's not a double off the wall, and instead he's ahead of the count 0-1. And then the next pitch, he's ahead of the count 0-2. And I thought this in the moment, early in this game, bottom of the second inning, this felt like a turning point pitch and a turning point moment, because you've just been given this big break by no runs scoring on a scorching line drive that Nick Ahmed hits to start the at-bat. You're given a second chance, you're ahead 0-2, you got to get out of this inning. And unfortunately, Ahmed hits a ripper up the middle. Lindor makes a diving attempt. No chance to throw him out. And the ball bounces away from him enough after he knocks it down for the two runs to score anyway. So it turns out to basically be, you know, no lucky break, because they get the two runs anyway. And it's 2-0 San Francisco. And that shouldn't have felt like the game. But in the moment, it felt like such a pivotal moment because of the break that they just received with no runs scoring. Quintana gets out of the inning because Lindor plays great defense, and the Met bats continue to do absolutely nothing. You know, Quintana wasn't great. He gave up two more runs in the third inning, all started because of, guess what? A leadoff walk, which, like I mentioned, has been one of his biggest bugaboos. Gets into a two-on, nobody-out jam, gives up the two-run double to Matt Chapman that Brandon Nimmo had no idea what he was doing in left field. He tries to cut it off. They should have held one of the runs from scoring. Younghoe Lee should not have scored, but Nimmo kind of misplayed it in left field, and it turns into a two-run double because official score these days, they don't give errors. That's one thing I've learned from this game. There could have been three errors in this game. They didn't call any. They basically called nothing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the Mets are down 4-0, and the bats just suck. The bats couldn't figure it out outside of Pete Alonso's laser beam home run, his seventh home run of the season. They were never really able to put anything together. And we also saw Carlos Mendoza in another tricky spot where he prioritized trying to squeeze another inning out of Quintana over going to his bullpen. He lets him start the sixth inning of a game in which they're down 4-1. And he probably shouldn't have. And the Mets had two fresh arms in the bullpen. They had sent down Grant Hartwig. They had DFA'd your boy Michael Tonkin. Poor Michael Tonkin. Oh, my God. The life of a baseball player, am I right? DFA'd by the Mets. DFA'd by the Twins. DFA'd by the Mets again. I'll give you a spoiler alert. He'll end up back with the Mets soon. They'll get him back in about a month. He'll get picked up somewhere else. They'll DFA his ass. He'll come back to the Mets. So they DFA'd Tonkin. They sent down Hartwig, and they had two fresh relievers in Sean Reed Foley and Josh Walker, who he would eventually see in this game. But again, you saw Mendoza prioritizing, maximizing what he's getting out of his starting pitcher more than making the right move. Because I think Quintana was done, even if he had lefty-lefty against Conforto in the sixth inning, and Michael Conforto just hit the crap out of the first pitch home run, and it's a 5-1 game. But the real other pivotal moment in this game came in the seventh inning. They're down 5-1. Keaton Wynn is allowed to start the seventh inning, gives up a leadoff base hit to Starling Marte, one of only two clean base hits the Mets got in this game. They only had four hits against the Giants, two of them were infield hits, and then the clean hit by Starling Marte and the Alonso home run. Lindor draws a walk because Keaton Wynn lost the strike zone, and they got two on. They got nobody out. They're down 5-1, and it's still the seventh inning. And the way I look at these kinds of situations is you don't have to get every run back, but if you want to make it a game, you got to get two runs back. Make this a 5-3 game going into the eighth inning, especially against the Giants bullpen that's been suspect. They get to this Ryan Walker because that's where Bob Melvin goes. They have two on and nobody out. And Pete Alonso hits that just crap pop up the shortstop. Brett Beatty, I thought off the bat, hit one very well, but hit it right at the center fielder, Younghoe Lee. And then DJ Stewart grounds out, and they just completely wasted their best scoring opportunity of the game. Because outside of that, what were their scoring opportunities? Starling Marte running out of an inning in the first inning, an infield hit by Pete Alonso that quickly turned into a 4-6-3 double play off the bat of Beatty. And outside of that, they didn't have any opportunities. So they really blew that golden chance in the seventh inning to make this game relatively close. Now, here's what the Mets did in the ninth inning. A part of me wants to say, hey, the Mets showed balls again. They were never out of a game, and they fought their way back, and they actually got the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning after they scored a run. It's 5-2, and they got 2-1 and 2 out. But here's the truth about the ninth inning against Camilo Duvall. The truth is, the Mets didn't do anything. Duvall walked Brandon Nimmo. I give Nimmo credit. He had a pretty good at-bat. Marte grounded out. Lindor hit a ground ball to first base in which Flores flips it to Duvall and Duvall just drops it. Mets didn't do anything for that. And then after Alonso grounds out, Brett Beatty draws a walk. Then there was a wild pitch mixed in between. So the rally, quote unquote, that the Mets put together in the ninth inning, and it was a rally. I mean, they ended up having the tying run up at the plate. So you're sitting there all night watching this baseball game. It feels like a loss for the last hour and a half, and they did get the tying run to the plate. Now, for no moment did I think DJ Stewart was hitting a three-run home run, but at least they gave you that. You never know. Look at the way the Knicks came back on the Sixers. Maybe the Mets can do the same damn thing. But that ninth inning rally was put together by San Francisco Giants ineptitude. It was not the Mets just, we're never out of a game. So I apologize. I cannot fall into that idea. I know the Mets have done that this season, and I've appreciated that. But this was more of a self-inflicted Giants allowing the Mets to make things interesting in the ninth inning. And unfortunately, DJ Stewart hit a ground ball right at the second baseman, Tyro Estrada, and the Mets lost to the San Francisco Giants by a final score of 5-2. It is, believe it or not, the first losing streak, if you consider two in a row a losing streak, it's the first losing streak of back-to-back games they've had since they started the season 0-5. Think about that for a second. After they won their first game against Detroit, the first game of the season, the finale of that doubleheader, they have not lost back-to-back games. And that's a testament to the consistency this team has had. With that said, they've now lost two in a row. Their bats have cooled off dramatically in the last two games against Keaton Wynn and Tyler Glasnow. And now they got to face the ace of the San Francisco Giants and Logan Webb on Tuesday night. So the Mets, and this is baseball, man. It's the beauty of baseball. It's the horror of baseball. The Mets were able to switch the look of their season very quickly after an 0-5 start. And it took a couple of days for us to feel a lot better about where this season was going. And that's the beauty of baseball. They play every single night. So bad night, good night. Good night could turn into bad night. The Mets win the first two games in LA, two incredible victories. They get blown out on Sunday. I said it on the last Rico. It happens. What can you do? Now you lose this lifeless game to the Giants, and now you're staring at a three-game losing streak straight in the face. I mean, you could be staring at a four-game losing streak. They could lose to Logan Webb. Blake Snell could dominate on Wednesday afternoon, and all of a sudden, a once-promising West Coast trip could end 2-4. That's the beauty and the horror of baseball. So it'll be a challenge on Tuesday going up against Logan Webb, and we'll see if Luis Severino can pitch well, because the Mets really need well-pitched games. They haven't had a lot of them. You know, it is a stress on this bullpen when you've got to go to it every single day after four or five innings. And Quintana needs to be one of the more consistent guys, and he really hasn't. So it's not the end of the world, but now I'm tired. West Coast games take a lot out of you, man. I sit up there and I'm watching and I'm hoping and I'm praying. And we've had some pretty good West Coast games over the years. We've had some duds. We've had some, you know, rip your balls off West Coast games. There's one against the Dodgers with Edwin Diaz during 2019 that was actually, there was a lot in 2019. Remember there was one where Dom Smith dropped a fly ball against the Giants? Oh, God. The game against the Diamondbacks that they blew five times. They've had a lot of bad West Coast losses. Luckily, this wasn't one of them. It was just more like a pain in the ass kind of loss. Now, as far as the roster is concerned, it does look like J.D. Martinez is coming back Friday, so that'll be a big help. The odd man out is Zach Short. I mean, there's really no discussion on this. It's not D.J. Stewart. I think D.J. has now earned his role on this team, not only as a left-handed bat off the bench, not only as a guy that can DH if J.D. can't play every day, but there are going to be days where you're going to sit Harrison Bader. DJ Stewart could play left field. Brandon Immo shifts back to center. Maybe even a day where you sit Starling Marte. So when JD is activated, I think the odd man out is clearly Zach Short. Gary Cohen said on the broadcast, hey, not sure how they're going to handle the catching duty. Will it be a platoon? I'm like, a platoon? Look, I know Omar Narvaez isn't Johnny Bench. I understand that. But Omar Narvaez, at least offensively, and I'm speaking offensively here, gives you a puncher's chance when he's at the plate. Tomas Nito's a freaking pitcher. It's the pitcher spot. It's almost like it's a bad joke on me because I love the pitcher hitting. All right, Evan, here's what you get. You get an actual pitcher hitting every time Tomas Nito plays. No thank you. No gracias. So I don't want to see a platoon. I want to see Omar Narvaez out there every single day. They got to get Brett Beatty's back going again. Ever since Beatty came back from the injured list, he has done very little. He didn't have horrible at-bats in this game. He grounded into a double play, hit the ball hard. When he came up in the seventh inning, he smoked one in left center field. So it's not as if he's looking clueless at the plate. But they got to find a way to get Beatty's bat going. And Brandon Nimmo's got to start hitting. You know, Brandon drew that walk in the ninth inning. That was a really good at-bat. But his average is dipping right around 200. So we'll see if they can get things going in game two of this series against Logan Webb. So if you didn't watch the game, hopefully this recap supplied enough information where you do not have to go back and watch any of it. Mets lose 5-2. It's a two-game losing streak. Let's not panic yet. But if you're an Islander fan, panic, because that was a freaking choke job. But we should have known better. Like, three-goal leads are the kiss of death when you're the New York Islanders. Anyhow, thank you very much for listening and downloading a late night, early morning, instant reaction of Rico Bronya. Now I'm going to go to...
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.